The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio. Coming up on the program today, it's all about vermicomposting, as well as we'll go over gardening no matter your body size. Our guest will be founder of AmpleHarvest.org, Gary Oppenheimer, and we'll answer your garden questions. And that all starts right now.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your day. I am your host, Joey Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. We thank you for allowing us to be part of your world for the next hour, whether you're listening to us on one of the 15 radio stations in North America, broadcasting our program here in 2021 through our radio app, through our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, at the top of the page, the Season 5 tab, in-studio video replay or podcast replay. Thank you for allowing that to happen. There's a couple of ways in which you can get a hold of us. If you would like to speak with us, you can give us a call at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. If we can't get to you, please leave a message and we will call you back. If you want to if you'd rather email us, you can do that as well. GardenTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's GardenTalkRadio@gmail.com. Those are two avenues in order to communicate with us. Got a big show lined up for you. So we're going to talk about vermicomposting, Holly. And vermicomposting is different than composting that most people do in their backyard.
Right. And before we do that, do you want to talk about Cousins Compost?
Well, Cousins Compost is a sponsor of our program, and they do provide a number of vermicomposting supplies, including their new all natural worm bedding. You can shop Cousins Compost and use coupon code REDWORM21 and get 10% off your order. So they've got some supplies there in which we will be talking about that you may need in order to vermicompost.
Right. So vermicomposting, as you mentioned, is different than just like regular composting.
A bin in the backyard turn it in either hot compost or cool compost.
Right, so this one, you're having your worm friends help you. So it's a process of composting with worms. So what happens is the worms digest, and there's an aerobic decomposition, and it's activities of micro and macroorganisms at room temperature. So it's also known as worm composting, and it produces a rich organic soil amendment, and that contains a diversity of plant nutrients and beneficial microorganisms.
Worm castings.
Worm castings, or the worm waste, whatever you want to call it. Now, before you go, you get excited and you're like, I'm going to go dig up some worms from your backyard. You don't want to use those earthworms. You want to use what are called red worms or red wigglers.
Well, I want to back up just for a minute here. And, you know, whenever you compost in the backyard in a bucket or a barrel or in on the ground, there's a certain amount of worm activity. However, this is different because we are utilizing the worms as being the composters rather than the heat, the cool, or the greens and the browns in order to do that thing.
Right. This is typically done in your home.
In your home.
Inside your home.
In a controlled environment, whether right. that be your home, your basement, a shed, a garage, something with shelter right. that is specifically designed. Yeah.
Yep. So you want to use the red worms, the red wigglers, and you can get those online. We'll talk about that. But they can double their population within 2 months. So if you do this right, your worms will double their population. So you might ask, okay, do I need special equipment? Maybe you've seen worm composter setups in gardening magazines, whatever. But you don't need special equipment.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, you can keep it simple. So you can use like a big plastic bin. You can use even just a styrofoam cooler.
But there is some maintenance or some things you have to do to those items right. in order to make it do what it needs to do.
Right. You could build something with wood, but if you do that, you don't want to use cedar. So it would be best if you just use like a plastic bin or a styrofoam cooler, something like that. But you do want to put numerous holes on the bottom, and then on the bottom half of the container, about halfway up, just like a couple rows. And then when you do that, you would also put this thing on like stilts or stakes or whatever to help
elevate it up a little bit.
Yep. Or if you just have like, you know, some old wood, it doesn't have to be fancy, but just kind of elevate it off the ground.
And the reason for the holes is one for aeration and also for drainage as well for the liquids that can potentially come out of the material that you're putting in. And then we'll talk about the castings and how do you extract those in a little bit. But that's the two reasons. Worms got to have air just because they live underground. Underground has air.
Right.
And they got to have the right moisture consistency because in the earth, if it's too wet, they go somewhere. If it's too dry, they go somewhere. That's why you don't put worms in a container grow bag on your patio, porch, or deck because 9 times out of 10, they're going to die because the environment is not correct for them.
Right. And so it doesn't smell like it shouldn't smell, which
if done correctly,
right? Yeah. If done correctly, and I think that is probably a question that people might have in their mind, like, is this going to stink? Because you want to keep it in a room temperature area, and then also stays like consistently dark. And you could do a basement, but a lot of people, if they don't want to keep it in their basement, they'll put it like under their kitchen sink, and then I could get that concern. But you would definitely want to have some sort of like drainage pan or something underneath it.
Well, it's kind of like when you have a cat. If you do everything right, people don't know you have a cat because there's no odor.
Right.
Yeah.
Very true. So you want to get, when you get started, what you want to do is, you know, once you have your bin set up, ready to go, then you're going to fill about half of the bin with moist shredded newspapers. Mm-hmm. And this is going to act as like a filter. Also just, It's something for the worms to live in.
Or Cousin's Compost is royal all-natural worm bedding. That will also work.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So this will help. And then you want to take a handful of garden soil, which will then help the bin with microorganisms. And it will provide those worms sand. And they need that sand to do to help their gizzard grind the food. Their digestive system, yep.
And the neat thing about worms, you're like, well, they'll double their population in 2 months. Well, what do I do then? The neat thing about worms, these red wigglers, they won't overpopulate themselves. Once they get to a population and they know this internally, they'll stop reproducing and they'll just live their happy little life. And that's why you can take another bin and duplicate this and take half that population out, move over and multiply this very quickly and easily and have a lot of worm bins to break down your kitchen waste and your kitchen scraps to good compost.
I really like this idea for people who live – I mean, even if you live in a hot climate, you don't want to necessarily have a compost pile. But if you live in a colder climate and you're like, what do I do with all my kitchen scraps during winter, it's a really good idea.
Right, because we have taken them and just dumped them in the pile and they just sit there. I mean, we don't actively turn the pile every 3 days during the winter, and we kind of don't do that in the summer either. But this is a way where you could – and then you could do it, and we'll talk about it. You can take those worm castings and then feed your indoor plants with them.
Right. So once you have your bin set up, you got your wet newspaper, you want to add your worms, and you want to purchase those online. Again, red worms or red wigglers is what you want.
Not earthworms because that ain't going to end well.
Not night crawlers, whatever. So then you place the bin in a room temperature area, which we had kind of talked about. But when you add your food scraps, you want to make sure you do this minimally. So you don't want to say, oh, here's my banana peel. I'm just going to put it in there. And then 10 minutes later, oh, I cut up this tomato and I got the stem and put in there. Kind of be conscious about it. Maybe do it once a day. Maybe have like a little area where you keep your food scraps. Because the worms, once you expose them to light, they don't like that so much. So they're going to go down deep. It's not the worst thing, but if you can...
If you take your pills at a certain time of day, do this at a certain time of day.
Right. And then when you do that, you do want to bury the food scraps. You don't want to just like toss it to the top. You want to put it underneath that newspaper. And you want to keep... You want to replenish the wet newspaper as needed because they will eat the newspaper as well. Or if you sift out the castings, then you would refresh with new newspaper.
So we're using the newspaper is basically the medium or the soil. We're not like filling the tub half full with potting soil and then we're doing all this other stuff. The newspaper is that medium that they're going
to... It's like their home, kind of.
Right. They're going to live in that wetted newspaper.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt them at all.
Right.
No, that's the soil, essentially, what we're working with.
Yeah. And keeping it covered in the food scraps should keep it moist enough, but if you have to, you can always spritz it with some water or, yeah, whatever method you want to figure that out. And then a lot of people, seems to be no fancy way to separate out the worm castings. I'm sure you could probably Google and see if you can find an easier way, but you simply just take and just dump your bin out on some newspapers, and then you just sift through, and then you get your worm casting separated from the rest.
Well, the other way you can sort out your worms, let's do a little description here. If your tub is 18 inches width, or right to left, and 12 inches front to back, if you feed your worms new scraps, put them on one side of the bin, and then you can harvest the castings out of the other side of the bin, and you'll get less worms because you got to wait a little bit for all of them to migrate over to eat the new stuff you put in. But that's another way in which you can separate the castings out. And there's also ways in which you can twist you can make a little device in which you can sift it through the bottom into a pan, that type of thing too. So there's many different ways in which to get the castings, but the castings can feed your indoor and outdoor plants. It has a beneficial property in it, which helps fight off bad insects, especially aphids. When this bacteria is uptaken into the plant system and aphids begin to suck the juice out of the plant, the aphids absorb this item and they begin to dissolve from the inside out. So this will work on the indoor plants as well as your outdoor plants.
So one thing I do want to mention is that it's not uncommon to lose an entire colony. Obviously, this is something you want to prevent, but it happens to even like the most experienced worm farmers. So that could happen. So if you feel like, oh, I failed, my worms died, I lost my colony, whatever, it's okay. It happens. So just keep that in mind. Like failure could possibly be a part of this.
So with that being said, one thing is not a failure is Walton's Incorporated. Whether you're going from animal to edible or you need some seasonings for your cooking, they have everything but the meat.
Yeah, our radio show, the Garden Joy and Holly radio show, is brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from, and canning, preserving your fruits and vegetables is great, but what about the meat? At waltonsinc.com, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created meatgisticks.com. It's an informational website to help you find the best finished product. Walton's even has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, and sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. That's waltonsinc.com. Or meatgistics.com.
There you go. Now, do not go anywhere. When we come back, it's all about gardening, no matter the size that you are. You're listening to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
We here at the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show gardens understand that healthy soil is the key to a successful garden. We know that chemical fertilizer burns carbon out of the soil and kills the microbes needed for a healthy soil ecosystem. No worries. Chicken Soup for the Soil by Dr. Jims will stimulate life into your soil, supplying all the nutrients most fertilizers neglect. Rather than force-feeding water-soluble chemical fertilizer, we suggest feeding the microbes a smorgasbord of 100% biodegradable nutrients that your plants can consume when they need them. The nutrients are readily available to maximize their genetic potential. Chicken Soup for the Soil will increase the quality of the fruit and vegetables you grow. Visit drjims.com. That's drjims.com. The Water Hoop is a portable water sprinkler system that allows you to target water evenly around the root ball of your tree or bush. Conforms to various shapes for your watering needs. The Water Hoop reduces runoff and saves money. Visit waterhoop.com.
Are you frustrated by how hard and dry your soil gets at this time of the year? You're not alone. The problem is that your soil has a high clay content. The clay shrinks and hardens as it dries, squeezing the air out of the soil. When soils are tight, roots are under stress and can no longer absorb water and nutrients easily. If you want to start improving your compacted clay soil, give Aerify Plus a try. For 20 years, homeowners and landscapers have been using liquid Aerify Plus to aerate and bioactivate their soils. Aerify Plus contains a soil penetrant as well as a liquid humates and seaweed. Visit our friends at natureslawn.com to find out more about this amazing Aerify Plus product. That's natureslawn.com.
Chip Drop is a website. You can sign up for free wood chip mulch delivery right to your door for free. Chip Drop connects homeowners and gardeners with tree services who are trying to get rid of their wood chips. You can also sign up to get free logs and firewood. Go to chipdrop.com to learn more and sign up for a free account.
Have essential oils always confuse you like they did me? Take out some of the guesswork with Simply Earth. The Simply Earth Essential Oil Recipe Box will help you gain confidence and clarity in using essential oils to help make your home toxin-free. Here's how it works. You receive the recipe box with 4 pure essential oils, 6 recipe cards, and extras. Then you learn how to use your essential oils while making the recipes created by certified aromatherapists. Clear and concise step-by-step directions. Save money and detoxify your life. I got to make fun products that will detoxify my home while also learning safe ways to use my essential oils. The best part is these oils don't break my budget. Simply Earth's essential oils are 100% pure and come from the best farms from all over the world. Using essential oils to support your wellness doesn't have to be overwhelming. My home is one step closer to being toxin-free because I made the wax melts and more with the Simply Earth Essential Oil Recipe Box. Visit simplyearth.com to find your recipe box and more.
The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Simply Earth, Seed Savers Exchange, Quick Snap Sprinklers, Water Hoop, Timber Pro Coatings, Bloom and Easy Plants, Pomona Universal Pectin, Ivy Organics, Tiger Torch, Happy Leaf LED, SeedLink. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your world for the hour this day. If you have gotten rain, well, good for you, but there's probably not enough rain, and we are still in our portion of the neck of the woods dealing with drought. Tree Diaper can help us with that in many parts of the country, if not all the parts of the country.
That's correct. Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water around the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries.
We've got them in our garden.
Yep, Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water, and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Water your plants and trees, whether they're by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. Also works under mulch. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. This is made in the USA. You can find all the sizes they have available at treediaper.com.
You want to see how they operate? Go to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. Upper right-hand corner, you see the little magnifying glass. Type in Tree Diaper, one word, and the video will pop up, and you can see how they look and operate in our garden. Well, Holly, let's talk about operating in our garden when it comes to people of multiple sizes.
Right. So I just want to talk about this because I myself am not slim and trim. I am a larger bodied human. And I think that it's important to know that people of all sizes and abilities can definitely garden. Sometimes you may have to think about how you can essentially help yourself, but there's a lot of tips or tricks. So,
and people have reached out to you on your Instagram account, which is called
The Fat Gardener,
and asked you how you do certain projects or activities in the garden because of your stature.
Right. And this is one thing I wanted to talk about. And there is no shame in having to maybe make the garden work for you or what have you. So I think the biggest thing is just to think about how you can help yourself. Maybe you're gardening in the ground and you're like, this is very taxing. Maybe that's not for you. So you could look into an alternative way, whether that be raised beds, elevated raised beds, some containers. Those are some really great options. Or even straw bale gardens.
Straw bale gardens is another option. And the raised bed gardens, it's twofold. If you do not want to bend down and work in the soil, you can put a raised bed. And two, you're adding good soil to that raised bed. So you're getting the best of both worlds. You don't have to bend down as much, and you're getting better nutrient value for your plants. And the plants are happier and healthier in most situations in most backyards. Not saying your native soil isn't good, but most times when you're bringing in 100% raised bed mix or compost, it's got an edge on the native soil.
And I think another important thing is to think about your center of gravity, and maybe if you're heavier in the middle like I am, My center of gravity, and I'm short, my center of gravity is going to be lower, but I have to consider, like, squatting for a long time, bending over for a long time. Leaning too far. Joey and I were filming the other day, and I was squatting down. I was kind of on an angle. I almost kind of fell forward. I mean, I caught myself, but if I wasn't paying attention, I probably could have fallen forward. So thinking about stuff like that, stretching, I think everybody should stretch every day, but if you maybe have some lower back pain or something, you might want to think about not running out to the garden first thing in the morning, letting your back kind of warm up for the day. Another thing is don't make the beds too wide. Our beds are 4 feet wide, but honestly, like, if I was gardening alone, I probably would do 2 or 3 feet across, and that may seem ridiculous, but it does make it a little bit easier to not have to reach so far.
Well, I mean, if you were 6'6", you know, the bed's 4 foot apart, you've already got, you know, you just look at them and you stretch out, you're already across it.
Right.
You know, you got shorter arms.
Right, and that's another thing to think about is, like, your height, your arm length, things like that. If you, maybe you're like, okay, well, I do use this bench, but I don't like it. Think about investing into maybe a different gardening bench, something with wheels. I know somebody had contacted me on Instagram, and I had found this gardening bench with wheels, and that was kind of perfect for them to move from side to side.
Was it one that had kind of large rubber wheels and, like, an old tractor seat, and
yeah,
and you kind of, you could scoot along the edge of the bed?
Yeah.
Okay.
And those are very helpful. That way you don't have to keep getting up and down. You can kind of scoot along, and you can do your weeding or sowing or whatever you need to do, picking, what have you. Another thing is don't be afraid to ask for help. So maybe there is a part of your gardening experience that you're like, this is terrible, I can't handle it.
I like the end result, but I don't like how I get there.
Right. So, and, you know, maybe have, like, a very candid discussion with your spouse or a neighbor or somebody who can help you, and then offer, you know, to give them some of the harvest or, you know, bake them a pie, whatever you could do to kind of, you know, pay them back, whatever, for their help. But don't be afraid to ask for help. It's definitely worth it rather than hurting yourself or feeling discouraged.
Next one here is, if you don't like the heat, and Holly, you fall into that category. Not all of us were farm kids, and
it's not that I don't like the heat. I don't do well.
You don't do well in the heat. No,
right.
You would, for all purposes, you would not do well on the farm.
I probably would slap somebody on the farm.
Yeah. You wouldn't be good. You wouldn't be a good gate girl because you couldn't get the, I don't think you'd get the gate closed quick enough when you're moving, separating cows.
It's a good thing I'm not a gate girl.
Yeah, that's good. People listening going, see, honey, you can't do the gate right. Somebody else knows what's going on. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. But the thing is I don't do well in the heat, and Joey knows this. So if we actually, like, so recently, it was very hot. We opted to work in the garden on Friday evening versus the following Saturday because of the heat. So keep that in mind. Think about, like, maybe if the heat of the day comes around 2 or 3 o'clock, think about working in the garden in the evening or in the morning when it's not so hot.
All right. Use mulch to help with your weeding. We talk about this not just about in this topic, but in general, the fewer weeds you have, the better off your garden's going to be, the less time you have to spend weeding it, and the more healthy, in some instances, your garden will be because the weeds will not be competing with the plants in which you're trying to grow. However, there are some times when, and we've experienced this, when we've had a prolonged heat, weeks, mm-hmm. where we didn't weed because if we would have weeded, we would have lifted the roots up, exposed what moisture was in the soil, that would have dried out, and those weeds in some degree was shading the soil out and keeping it cooler, even though it was absorbing some of the nutrients in that soil that we wanted our plants to take up. So it was kind of a little balance there between weeding or leaving there and keeping the soil cool because of the weeds that were coming up.
Right. So with that being said, you also want to think about irrigation when you're watering. So maybe
dripworks.com, tree diaper, quick snap, multiple different things in which you can use in order to water your garden.
Right. So maybe you don't like pulling the hoses out.
Water hoop.
Right. Maybe you don't like pulling the hoses out. It's maybe, especially when it's hot out, it's not it's
because
not
fun if you for pull you. The hoses out, somebody will want you to put them back away.
Right. So maybe think about investing in irrigation. The biggest one.
Let's talk about that for a minute. That is what And the only reason why our garden has survived last year and so far this year is because of the irrigation and the investment right. that we put into it. We got it on a timer, 8 a.m., 12 p.m., and 5 p.m., 20 minutes, drip. It goes right to the root system, and the plants love it.
Right. So another thing I really want to mention and talk about is wearing proper clothing and footwear. Now, maybe you were raised to think that you can't show your arms because they're not, you know, model pretty or something like that.
Who's looking?
First of all, who's looking? Second of all, it's 2021. We're not doing that anymore. We're not following these silly fashion rules. Wear the sleeveless top. If you want to wear shorts, wear shorts. I would just suggest that making sure that if walking on the ground is hard on you, I actually just went through physical therapy because of my my bad ankle. So I have to sometimes take breaks because my ankle is sensitive to the uneven ground. So just be aware of that. And
what garden doesn't have uneven ground?
Right.
Yeah.
So, but be aware of that. You know, give yourself a break. Think, okay, I can wear the sleeveless shirt. It's going to make me feel a lot cooler than wearing a short sleeve shirt. And it's okay. It's okay that I don't have the perfect arms. Or maybe you want to find a nice garden hat. I found a nice garden hat, and it happens to be a quote-unquote men's hat. But who cares? It makes my head.
You do have a larger
head. I do have a larger head, yes. Yeah. But it allows for my head to breathe. Uh-huh. And that's what's important. So you want to keep that in mind, is that maybe think outside the box and just accept the fact that, like, it's okay. It's okay to wear what you need to in the garden to make it an enjoyable experience for yourself.
Well, maybe some people choose and want to grow outside and do grow outside to a certain level, but maybe inside you have a room or an area of your home in which you can set up a grow system, Happy Leaf LED grow light, couple of grow bags from rootmaker.com. Like we have in our grow room, we've got three tomatoes, Tiny Tims, in a 10 by 20 flat, and they are producing. They're about 18 inches high. They're not going to get much higher than that. I've created a frame for the lights to hang on. Now, it's nothing to the point where, oh, we've got 7 pounds of tomatoes we got to do something with. These are cherry and grape-sized tomatoes, but it's enough in order for you to consume, you know, a here and there type of thing.
Right.
But it certainly can be done on a very low budget. And you can do, besides Tiny Tim tomatoes, you can do leaf lettuce. You can do all types of different things.
Herbs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you don't need, I mean, if you have a three-season porch or a south-facing window that you can maneuver plants around and make it work, you can certainly do that and do the best of both worlds, outside and inside.
I would definitely recommend that, especially if you want to expand your gardening knowledge. Sometimes it's fun to grow indoors year-round.
If you want to see our system, you can go to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and just scroll down on the main page. You're going to see indoor Tiny Tim tomato setup or something it's called of that. It's a nice little video that we show what we've got and how it's working.
So in conclusion, just keep in mind that whatever you need to do, there's no shame in having to ask for help, using a garden bench, or using whatever you need to help yourself enjoy your time in the garden.
Those Japanese beetles are working their little tails off in order to eat our vegetation. Summer is in full swing. It's hot outside, and those Japanese beetles are already in the garden tearing things up.
Right. If you're looking to successfully control beetles without damaging the environment, look no further than Beetle Gun from Phylum Bioproducts. Derived from a naturally occurring soil bacteria, Beetle Gun is the only organic solution that successfully controls beetle invaders. You just mix the powder with water and spray it on your plants. Once ingested, the targeted pests will stop feeding, and then they will die. And since it's organic BT product, you know it's a great choice to use on your fruits and veggies, in addition to your ornamental flowers and trees.
Not only does Beetle Gun work, but what I like most about it, that this product, it is safe to use around beneficial insects such as butterflies, bees, and ladybugs. And it has no issue with water toxicity. That's Beetle Gun from PhylumBioproducts.com. That's PhylumBioproducts Bioproducts.com. Do not go anywhere. When we come back, founder of AmpleHarvest.org, Gary Oppenheimer, will be with us. You're listening to the Garden with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
This week's garden tip is brought to you by Yard Glider, the cart without wheels, loads without lifting, hauls more, dumps faster, built to last, and built for hard work. Multiple sizes available at yardglider.com. That's yardglider.com. Harvesting your tomatoes can be somewhat tricky if you are not familiar with the ripening process. Tomatoes from flower to fruit typically take 20 to 30 days. Tomatoes ripen from the bottom up. And if you have problems with tomatoes getting eaten before you pick them, look underneath the tomato. If you can see pigmentation changing, you can harvest it early, set it on your windowsill, and within 3 days, they will be as ripe as they are in the vine. This week's garden tip was brought to you by Yard Glider, the cart without wheels, loads without lifting, hauls more, dumps faster, built to last, and built for hard work. Perfect for homeowners, arborists, hunters, landscapers. Pull it behind an ATV, a lawnmower, or pull it yourself. Multiple sizes available at yardglider.com. That's yardglider.com.
Protect your plants against damage with a 3-in-1 plant guard and special blend fertilizer. Visit ivyorganics.com.
Straight from the farm, fields, and briar patch, Piper and Leaf Artisan Tea is a tea like you've never imagined it. Get our award-winning tea delivered right to your front door and become part of the Piper and Leaf family. Free shipping over $75 at piperandleaf.com.
Deer Defeat is an all-natural repellent to keep deer, rabbits, and groundhogs away from your precious plants. Deer Defeat protects your plants day and night, dries clear, and odorless. It will not clog your sprayer. Deer Defeat works for 30 days through rain, snow, and freeze. Safe, effective, and works on rabbits. Money-back guarantee. To purchase, go to deerdefeat.com and use code RADIO to save 10% on your order. Deer Defeat. It can't be beat. You move your lawn sprinklers all over the yard, but you always end up putting them in the same spots. Why not just bury them there? Out of sight, always ready to use, pre-adjusted to water the precise areas you want. Quick Snap Sprinklers makes it easy. In-ground sprinklers without the hassle or expense of laying pipe. Put the sprinklers anywhere in your lawn or garden. Snap on a hose to supply the water. Water on, it pops up. Water off, it drops below ground. You can mow right over it. You can have a buried sprinkler system up and running in just minutes. Each Quick Snap saves thousands of dollars. They install in minutes and operate for years. Visit quicksnapsprinkler.com. CousinsCompost.com offers a full range of compost and vermicomposting supplies, including the new Royal All-Natural Worm Bedding. Shop Cousins Compost for composting worms, worm castings, indoor and outdoor worm bins, and compost bins. Use coupon code REDWORM21 for 10% off your order at CousinsCompost.com. Tired of dealing with bugs but don't want to use harmful chemicals to repel them? Naturally Green, No More Bugs, is all-natural and plant-based. No more chemical bug repellent. Use it around your home and on you, indoors and out. DEET free and will not stain. Repels mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, roaches, ants, flies, and more. No More Bugs is the answer to what is bugging you. Stop using harmful chemicals and use what is safe for you, your family, pets, and the environment. For more information, visit natgreenproducts.com. natgreenproducts.com. Soul Brew Kombucha is founded and handcrafted in Milwaukee, 100% organic, formulated for ultimate health and enjoyment. Find out the benefits of drinking kombucha and where to purchase at mysoulbrew.com or find them on Facebook at My Soul Brew. The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Blue Ribbon Organics, Naturally Green Products, Ironwood Tool Company, Easy Step Products, Rinse Kit, Soul Brew Kombucha, Wild Delight, Rikon Vitova, Chip Drop, Bailbuster.com. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show. Happy you're with us today. If you got problems with Japanese beetles, well, Rescue has a trap that will fix or detour or eliminate the problem in your garden.
Japanese beetle traps, when used properly, draw beetles away from your plants and trees. The trick is to hang them 30 feet from the plants you want to protect. That way you lure the beetles away from areas where they cause damage and trap them. Rescue Japanese beetle traps are the only traps with a controlled release lure that lasts the entire beetle season. Their extra large bag is welded directly to the trap and stays put even when it's full of beetles. and the rescued Japanese beetle trap is the only way to trap it with a reusable bag that opens and closes at the bottom. So you can dump the beetles out empty and keep trapping them with the same trap. You go to rescue.com, made in the USA. Again, that's rescue.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Gary Oppenheimer is the CEO and founder of AmpleHarvest.org, and we are going to learn more about this unique and important organization. Welcome to the program, Gary.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here with you. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. And let's just start with it right off the bat. What is AmpleHarvest.org?
AmpleHarvest.org is a now 11-year-old nationwide nonprofit. It's the only program of its kind in the country, and it's set out really to solve two distinct problems simultaneously. One is to enable the America's home and community gardeners to be able to donate their surplus harvest to one of nearly 9,000 local food pantries across the country. On the other hand, it's also the only program in the country that enables food pantries across America to receive locally grown fresh food without needing to buy costly additional refrigeration and storage. So we're solving two problems at the same time. Gardeners who had too much food, it was going to waste, they can now donate it. And food pantries that didn't know they could accept the food and didn't have the capacity to accept it. AmpleHarvest.org addressed both of those simultaneously on a nationwide scale.
Well, that's very interesting. How did you create AmpleHarvest.org? Where was the aha moment?
There are probably two I will speak of. One was when I was a child and my family inculcated with me with finish what's on your plate. Kids are starving in Europe. I learned about not wasting food. That was one thing. By the way, that was back in the 1950s, but that was one. But the other thing was that I was running a community garden here in the town of West Milford in northern New Jersey. The people in the community garden were kind of frustrated with the food that was left over at the end of the season, people overwhelmed, food going to waste, whatever. And I had suggested if we're going to have an ample harvest, at least we could do is get it to hungry people. People loved it. We started putting a local program together. There are many other local programs like that across the country where people do gleaning. But the aha moment occurred in March of 2009, when I went online and found that when I went looking for food pantries, Google said the nearest one was 25 miles away in another town, and I knew my town had several. I'm one of the pioneers in electronic communications going back to the 70s and 80s, and I realized if I am having a problem making this connection, so is every other gardener. And I sat down, woke up the next morning, sat down, put an outline together of what I thought a solution would look like in terms of educating gardeners and enabling food pantries to receive the food by way of a custom directory, and it all came together in one four-hour session. Put it together, looked at it, said, this is something worth doing. I found two volunteers to help me. One was a brilliant woman who was a web designer. Another one was a gentleman in New Jersey who helps with data engines. And over the course of the next several weeks, we took my vision and turned it into a website. And then in mid-May 2009, AmpleHarvest.org was launched. And I knew that I hit something on target because in 150 days, more than 1,000 food pantries across America signed up and said, we want to be a part of this. And at that point, it wasn't a nonprofit. It was an aging geek with a really good idea. Eventually, I incorporated into a 501c3 nonprofit in April of 2010, and a year later, I'm at the White House with the President and the First Lady. I'm a CNN here, and all these other things quickly took off. We built up a staff, but basically was born around a discussion in a community garden in northern New Jersey.
Well, and here's the thing. People, when you see people, you don't know that they're hungry. They don't wear a sign that says, hey, I've got a big house, but I don't have any food.
Actually, not only is that correct, I'm going to take it a step further. The heart of AmpleHarvest.org isn't a hunger program in the traditional sense. People basically in America are not starving to death. They're malnourished. The country's exceedingly well-fed, but malnourished. What we're trying to do is get improved nourishment into the food pantry system so that people have the opportunity to get those fresh zucchini, tomatoes, whatever, instead of jars and cans and boxes, highly processed food. So this really dramatically changes the health quotient of the millions and millions of people that temporarily or longer term need to use a food pantry. Cisco Systems, the internet company, not the food company, did an analysis a couple of years ago, and they determined, and this number is really, really big, they determined that if every gardener in America, by the way, these are pre-pandemic numbers, but if every gardener knew that he or she could donate food, and if every food pantry in America was a part of AmpleHarvest.org, that end game, the nation's health care costs would drop $58 billion a year. Reductions in obesity, diabetes, hypertension, et cetera, just because the gardeners across America have the opportunity to do what they've always wanted to do, which is share their surplus harvest with a local food program.
That's definitely very amazing. Now, food waste is a real problem in the USA and any developed country. How much food do Americans waste per year?
I'm going to speak to the garden produce stuff because the numbers on the actual, the whole farm-to-table stuff, it's a staggering amount of food. But just, and forgetting what the U.S., what the USDA and ReFed and everybody else says about overall food waste, gardeners alone, there's another 11-plus billion pounds of food wasted in home and community gardens on top of the national statistics. It's a huge amount of food. It not only affects the hunger and nutrition, it actually affects climate change because the food waste is one of the key contributors to climate change around the globe. Reduce the waste of food, you reduce climate change. And you're doing good on a sustained basis for the community and the country.
Okay. So we are talking with Gary Oppenheimer from AmpleHarvest.org. So why do home gardeners end up with so much food waste, and how could that be prevented?
I don't think it can be prevented from the standpoint that we all, and I'm speaking myself as a gardener, come March and April, we're typically planting more than we can possibly eat. We're all eager to get out. We're all eager to get the seeds and the seedlings in the ground. There's also the reality that not everything you plant is going to grow or some animals are going to eat it, so you plant more than you need. But the other issue is that many of the things we grow all ripen at the same time. So all your tomatoes are coming at the same time. All the zucchini, you can't handle that much food. So the problem isn't that there's too much food. It's too much food in too short a period of time. And that's the opportunity for the gardeners to say, I've got more tomatoes than I can use. Let me donate it. That means I eliminate the waste of food. I've grown as much as I want. I have plenty for my dinner table. And the rest goes to hungry families. So you're not going to try to prevent it. As a matter of fact, our data shows that gardeners, once they know they can donate, if they have the space, two-thirds will enlarge their gardens deliberately for donation. So we're taking it, changing the story from the waste of food to the opportunity to nourish the community and the country, all by simply patching into the fact that a gardener has a passion to do something good and the produce with which to do it.
Well, how can people like Holly and myself and our listeners find a pantry with the fresh harvest to receive it? What do we need to do? How can we find them?
Perfect. Great question. Visit www.ampleharvest.org, and under the grower menu, you're going to find a pantry. You put in your zip code, and up is going to come a listing of a bunch of food pantries in your neighborhood that have all signed up to receive the fresh food. You pick the one that's most convenient to you, and then typically they will say, please give us the food on this day of the week or these times. And this is really important because this allows the food to go from your garden to them to a hungry family in hours, and that's why they don't need the refrigeration. If you find a pantry that's convenient to you in terms of where it is and in terms of their hours for receiving the food, and once that you're aware of that, you'll donate for the rest of your gardening life. So AmpleHarvest.org is the nexus for connecting you with the need in your community. Once that connection is made, if you're gardening for 20 more years, you've got 20 more years of donations.
Well,
By the way, go ahead. We also share our data with other nationwide food waste and hunger nonprofits so they can do their good work. So we're considered the national resource for food pantries across the country. And I want to be clear about one other thing. The term food pantry is where a hungry family goes. In some places, it's called a food cupboard, food shelf, food closet, or even a food bank. But it's basically any program where a hungry family can come to get food so they can get some nourishment on the dinner table.
How can people who are listening that may have or work at a food pantry, food bank, food closet, sign up for yours through Ample Harvest to notify gardeners that, hey, we can do this on our end?
It's very simple. Visit ampleharvest.org. You'll find a link on there for your pantry to sign up. We have only two requirements. You must be or be affiliated with a nonprofit. You must distribute the food for free. If you fit those criteria, sign up. We will vet you to make sure that you meet the criteria, and then we sort of turn on your front porch lights. And from that point on, you become visible to all of the gardeners near you. Our vision is that gardeners within, say, a 9 or 10-mile radius of you, so let's say 250 square miles of gardeners, will funnel that surplus food to you, and that you become connected to those gardeners on a sustained basis.
It's definitely been very amazing hearing about all of this. So how can people, again, how can people find out more information on where to find all of the information provided today?
Visit ampleharvest.org. Follow us on social media. And the website is the nexus for everything. By the way, we have a program in partnership with Bonnie Plants for Grow More, Feed More to enable even more people to learn about and for donating food. People, by the way, who aren't gardeners can help AmpleHarvest.org do our work if they want to come and make a donation or if they want to sponsor a food pantry or even if their business wants to sponsor all of the food pantry listings in the state. We have several avenues open so that whether you're a gardener or simply have a big heart, you can help AmpleHarvest.org end the waste of food and malnutrition nationwide.
Well, Gary, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered us, sharing what we can all do as gardeners and helping people who are less fortunate than we are.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure, and I welcome everybody to come and visit. And if they have any questions, you can email us at info@AmpleHarvest.org. But thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
And when we come back, it's going to be your garden questions, our garden answers. You're listening to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Brought to you by Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardens, farms, landscaping, and more. Visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com or call 262-497-8539 to find their products nearest you. The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raised beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com. Use coupon code RADIO21 and get 15% off your entire order. RinconVitova.com, natural solutions for common pests. 1-800-248-BUGS, bugs. Rinse kit, pressurized water on the go. No pumping, no battery, simply fill from your spigot or sink on the way out for up to 5 minutes of spray time. Anywhere, live dirty, rinse clean with Rinse Kit. Hello, I'm Joey Baird from the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. If you're looking for merchandise for the program, you can go to thatismyshirt.com and get shirts with our logos on it. If you'd want to go a different route, they have a lot of comical, logical, and witty sayings on shirts that you can wear that makes a statement. From valedictorian from Common Sense University to I Heart Compost to Don't Be Just Average Today and a number of other great sayings. It all can be found at thatismyshirt.com. thatismyshirt.com. Sizes from small to 5 extra large and multiple colors per shirt to choose from. thatismyshirt.com.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online.
Now that your garden is in place, help your plants grow with Chapin's sprayers. Use our hose-in and handheld sprayers to feed your plants and control pests. Set up a fertilizer injector to water and feed at the same time. Cover large areas with a backpack or ATV sprayer. Chapin equipment is available at all major home improvement and hardware stores and online at www.chapinmfg.com. Chapin, cover more ground. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Pro Plugger, Dripworks, Walton's Incorporated, Tree Diaper, Janie's Mill, Phylum Bioproducts, Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Nature's Lawn and Garden Incorporated, Deer Defeat, Dr. Jim's, Root Maker. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. You got a question, it's question and answer time now. If you've got a question, you can certainly submit that over to us to get that question answered. You can do that by emailing us at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you'd rather talk to us, you can jam your fingers in your phone and give us a ring-a-ding-ding at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-SHOW. You want some numbers on that? That's 1-800-927-7469. Had a number of questions come in this week, Holly. Let's see what we can get through to the top of the hour.
Can I trim my zucchini plant and can I tie them up? I have a raised bed and they are really just taking over. And also, can I trim my radishes?
Okay, first of all, radishes you cannot trim. Radishes will take 30 days to reach maturity. As the day lengths are longer now and the temperature is warmer, they're going to seed. They're going to put flowers on, have a vertical center growth, and put pods on that are edible until they begin to change color. And they taste just like the bulb. And if you're in that position, you can save those pods. Let them dry on the vine. They'll turn into a very brittle, brown, styrofoamy-like texture. And each pod will contain 5 to 7 seeds. And you can plant those for fall or next spring. Or what we've done a couple of years in a row is just let them go naturally. And they seed themselves voluntarily. And then in the spring, we have a whole patch of radishes that we have not planted that come up when nature says it's time for you to grow. On the zucchini, you can tie it up. I wouldn't use a tomato cage. I would use a stake, and you can gently bend that plant and allow it to grow vertically. You can cut some of the damaged or discolorational leaves off along the main growth stem. But other than that, you should be able to maximize a little more space by growing them vertically. There's a lot of different techniques online that will work. But the key to this, wherever you're at, however you're doing this, be very gentle. You snap the plant off, you've killed the plant. So put the stake and gently twist that or bend that thing up. And if you think you're bending too much, stop and try to readjust. All right, next question, Holly. Can I reprocess chicken broth? I had one jar that did not seal. I didn't get the cap on straight. I assume the band, and it didn't. The lid didn't seal. I put it in the fridge, and can it be reprocessed in a few days?
Well, I wouldn't wait a few days. I would reprocess it as soon as you can. But you want to leave it at room temperature, or you want to, you know, if it's in the fridge now, you want to bring it up, make it room temperature, and then you can start your canning process. But I wouldn't wait a few days. I would immediately reprocess it as once it's room temperature, whatever that means when it comes to the canner, or maybe if you want to leave it overnight and do it the next day, but don't leave it for a few days.
Okay, with people who are canning, whether for the first time or the second time, years, what is the rule of thumb on these jars that do not seal? And is there certain things which it's not advisable to reprocess? It? I'm thinking pickles may be one of them because the more heat you put to them. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Right. So pickles, definitely you don't want to necessarily reprocess because they're going to get typically kind of mushy. Same thing with jam and jelly, because that process of making the whatever jam up, gel up, reprocessing it might make it watery or it might make it tough. So jam or jelly, you don't want to reprocess, but everything else you pretty much can. You just want to do it within like 24 hours.
What is, and she, I assume this this person indicated that they didn't get the band on correctly to seal that flat portion, which is the lid. What, besides that, what is one of the more typical results of a jar not sealing properly through the canning process?
If you have a jar that has dings or dents where it should be sealing.
When we talk about, we're talking about the glass rim of the actual physical jar, you rub your finger around and there's, it's smooth is what you want.
Yeah. Or if there's moisture. So before you put the lids on, you take a paper towel and you just wipe around the top of the rim. And then that will help the moisture too. And sometimes it just happens. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, also another thing that you do not want to do, and it's a no-no, is when the jars come out, first of all, you don't want to tighten them down super tight. The bands to press them down because they won't seal right there. The other thing is when they come out of the canner, speaking of water bath, you don't want to set them down and then I'm just going to tighten them to make sure they get tight. You don't do that. That's a no-no. That can actually cause a false seal. And then you've got problems down the road. So some things to keep in mind. All right, next question. Some of my cucumbers are very large and are turning orangish yellow. What did I do wrong?
Unfortunately, you didn't pick them soon enough. So they want to go to seed. They'll probably be bitter. So what you want to do is you want to pick them when they're smaller and green. You don't want to be like, I have the biggest cucumber.
Because you're going to have the biggest cucumber that nobody will be able to eat.
Right.
That back on the farm, that was called pig feed.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, you want to harvest them when they are like the normal cucumber size for whatever they should be.
And you don't have to harvest cucumbers when they are the store size, you know, 7 inches long and 1 inch high. You can harvest them when they're baby cucumbers, too. There's no, you can harvest them early. And the frequency of harvesting will encourage the plant to continue to produce more cucumbers. And if you're able to grow them on a trellis, studies have shown that you can double the amount of cucumbers your plant produces because they're vertical, because they can get more air, more pollination capabilities on that. So to keep that in mind, also, you know, if you do lemon cucumbers, they're going to be yellow. So you keep that in mind. But yeah, it's going to be bitter. And if you want to save seeds on a cucumber and you have more than one variety growing in your garden, forget it. They're going to cross-pollinate. Very, very high probability that if you have two different types of cucumbers, a Boston pickling and a Market Moore 76, they have cross-pollinated. So don't worry about saving the seeds. Spend the $2 or $3 it costs to buy a new pack of seeds next spring and go that route. All right, let's see here. What is the best way to harvest my microgreens? Will they continue to produce after I have harvested them?
Well, so what you want to do is you want to harvest them when they're – so you plant them in a flat. So the best way to grow them is to plant them in a flat with like a 10 by 20 flat in thirds. So you want to plant one day and then a few days you plant in another third and then a few more days from that you plant another third. And you just want to harvest them when they're about 2 inches tall, and then that's it. They're not going to keep coming back. They're not like a cut and come again. That's why you want to do like the succession method where you break the flat into three sections.
Or if you're really into microgreens, do three separate flats a week apart.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're really into microgreens, you want to do three separate flats. That's fine too. But just about a week apart between the planting, and then you'll have a continual harvest of microgreens.
There you go. Well, with that said, we are out of time, and we thank you for yours. Did you miss any portion of the program today, or you want to go revisit it? We certainly would like for you to do that if you need to. You can go a couple of different ways. Go to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and clicking on the Radio Season 5 tab at the top of the page. Scroll down. You can see all past shows. Catch up on them. Or you can send us an email, gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we will send you the link to this program in podcast form. Or you can watch us in studio video or any type of that going on there. Tune in next week. Do not miss the program where we will be talking about fall planting as well as farmers markets, which you need to know. And our guest will be author Loriana Raymond DeVaunel. And your garden questions answered. So until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.